Arizona isn't just in our name. It's our home, too. That's why Blue Cross Blue Shield of Arizona is taking action for better health right here in Pima County. We're mobilizing resources to help make a difference in critical health issues, and we're offering new health plans for individuals and families in 2019. It all adds up to a healthier you, healthier community, a healthier Pima County. Here to protect what matters most, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Arizona. Live fearless.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hello, welcome to another episode of the Wildcast podcast. We are here at Arizona Stadium in Lowell Stevens Football Facility. I'm Justin Spears here with Michael Lev. Michael, we were just wrapping up the Kevin Sumlin press conference. Arizona coming off a loss to Utah, 42-10, the biggest margin of loss for Arizona since the Washington State game. Were you at that game?
Oh, yeah. I was there. That was the low point since I've been here. People... you know, have kind of asked me about last night's game. Is that the low point? No way. No, yeah. They were completely, they were not competitive in any way, shape, or form in that Washington State game. Yeah. I mean, it was a complete annihilation, outclassed every which way. I mean, obviously things did not go well against Utah, but at least they were able to move the ball at times and stop them at times. I felt like Washington State in that night or that afternoon could have scored any time that they wanted to.
Yeah.
You know, it was almost like a 7-on-7 practice for them. You know, by the way, I would just like to say, I'm glad you're using the pronoun we, which yeah. means that it's the two of us here, yeah. not just me, by my lonesome. And you're going to come to L.A.
Yep.
too. So yep. I'm yeah.
yeah.
I like this a lot better.
I like it.
You know,
I like it too.
I feel like I'm just like blathering on when I'm doing this solo, you know. So now the two of us can blather Absolutely. On and on.
So the Arizona Wildcats, they face UCLA this week. Interesting game. I'm not going to say it's a tough game, but UCLA does have a little bit of momentum because they got their first win of the season against Cal. Is Arizona in trouble this week?
Yeah, I think they might be. When I sort of sketched out how the season might go, you know, and I don't think it's gone anyway, in any way, shape, or form the way people thought it would for Arizona, but I had this game penciled in as a potential loss for them because I thought... even back then, like, UCLA is probably going to struggle a little bit early in the season, and they're going to kind of find their form about halfway through because Chip Kelly's a really good coach. You know, you weren't sure who the quarterback was going to be, and now it seems like the freshman has kind of become that guy, in part because of injury, but he fits the system better than Wilton Spate did. And, yeah, we're seeing it now, right? Like, Chip Kelly did not forget how to coach football. They were really competitive against Washington, which obviously had a tough loss this past weekend against Oregon, but, you know, still up there among the best teams in the league. So they played them to, within a score. And then they killed Cal, right? And Arizona barely beat Cal here. And UCLA went up to Cal and destroyed them. So I feel like Arizona's catching UCLA at exactly the wrong time. Yeah. In addition, that has been a difficult venue for Arizona in recent seasons. Mm-hmm. So... it's going to be tough. I didn't see a point spread when I looked, and that might be because of the Khalil Tate situation, which I'm sure we'll talk about here.
It's an interesting week for Arizona, like we said. Khalil Tate, he left the game against Utah with his lingering ankle injury that's been lingering for ever since the BYU game, really. And Rhett Rodriguez and Jamari Joyner both entered the game. Kevin Sumlin actually talked about why he put Jamari Joyner into the game before Rhett Rodriguez. But he really liked what he saw out of Rhett. I'm not going to say a spark because it was already... Arizona's already too much into the hole at that point. But what did you like out of Rhett in that game?
Yeah, well, first of all, they were going to play Jamari... and I think in that third series, regardless, because that was the plan that they had the previous week, and they were going to do it again against Utah. But, you know, Kevin Sumlin determined, I think correctly, that Khalil was just too impaired to keep playing, right? So he put Jamari in, and there were some struggles. Like, I rewatched the game on Saturday, and you could really tell, like, he wasn't comfortable in the pocket. He was kind of jittery. You know, he wouldn't stand in there and read the coverages. He was like, his fundamentals, like the ball would drop down kind of toward the waist level. There was that one play where he spun out into a sack. Mm-hmm. That was actually, it was overturned because of a penalty down the field, but that shows you that he's just not really comfortable yet with the whole offense or the, you know, the entirety of what's being asked of the quarterback. Rhett, meanwhile, is sort of a, you know, he's a master's level, you know, guy, just in terms of his mind, yeah. Right? Like, you've heard this from his dad, from, you know, since we first exposed to Rhett. Like, he's like he was 19 going on 39, you know? He's like super smart and doesn't have the physical gifts that some of the other guys have, but he can overcome that because he can read defenses, he can anticipate, you know, what's going to happen. Did he spark the team? I wouldn't say that, but he was competent, right? Yep. I mean, he moved them down the field several times. They missed a field goal. They had a couple of those fourth downs that they, you know, were unable to convert, that he put them in position at the very least to score points. My guess, and it is just a guess, and we can go over all of this today or over the course of the week, but my guess is that he's going to start Saturday. I mean, I think that if you throw Khalil Tate out there, even though it's like, you know, the team that his cousin used to play for and the team that he thought about playing for and it's his hometown and all that, you're just, it's like that hamster running in the wheel, right? I mean, you're just not making any progress.
Yeah.
You know, I think he needs to sit down for a week or two, get that ankle right, and then let's see what we have at, you know, over the last few weeks of the season with a healthy Khalil Tate. Rhett will not be overwhelmed by the situation, you know, playing at the Rose Bowl, and then you can sprinkle in a Jamari Joyner or Kevin Doyle as you plan to do anyway.
And I feel like we've been talking about sitting Khalil Tate ever since he's had the injury. Like, you have to sit him, let him rest for 2, maybe 3 weeks. That way you get him ready for the Pac-12 season. And I always said Khalil Tate with this injury, he's just like a ticking time bomb. The more it continues, and you pointed out a few weeks ago, Arizona doesn't have a bye week until November 10th. So you're just going to let your star quarterback continue to play on a hurt ankle, and then to the point where he can't even walk on it.
Yeah, obviously hindsight is 20/20, right? I mean, it's easy to say in retrospect, but you know, as our colleague Greg Hansen pointed out in his Sunday Notes column, they could have sat him for the Oregon State and Southern Utah games and won those games anyway.
Yeah,
right. And they would have. The flip side of that is Khalil probably wanted to play, right? He probably pushed to play. He's kind of the star attraction, or the guy who the whole offense was based around throughout the offseason. So it's kind of hard to just take him out of the mix. Right. Also, it's more reps for him to get more comfortable with the offense. Like, you know, those were positive performances for him. But
I'll say, you could also say he could have sat on the bench, watched the offense, and then take some notes and also get better at the offense mentally.
Yeah. I mean, it's all easy to say in retrospect, but I didn't understand why he played so deep into the Houston game. Let's start with that. That was the day that he got hurt, and he was into the game well into the fourth quarter of a blowout, you know. He could have played a half against, or maybe the first series of the third quarter of those Southern Utah and Oregon State games, and they probably still would have won. I'm sure that Kevin Sumlin has some regrets about how he handled the situation, and he's kind of rethinking things right now. Like what he talked about today is, like, you don't want to keep repeating this scenario where he goes out there and tweaks it again, and then you're just right back where you started from. So my gut, based on the information that we have so far, is that Khalil's going to sit this week and maybe another to get him right. Maybe you even do it all the way through the bye and then bring him back for the last two games.
Would that be the biggest story of the Pac-12 that week? Maybe even college football, if Rhett Rodriguez comes in, starts for Kevin Sumlin, and wins a game for Arizona on the road?
That would be a great story, right? I mean, it's already a great story, but for him to actually pull off a victory in a situation like that would be pretty amazing. UCLA had something kind of similar. Remember, Jerry Neuheisel was the quarterback for the Bruins, I think, after his dad left, right? So somewhat similar situation, not exactly the same. It's unusual. As some of you may or may not know, I actually talked to Rich Rodriguez on Sunday about his son, mostly, you know, and like, it was cool to reconnect with Rich a little bit. You can check out that story on our Wildcaster app or on Tucson.com. But he's in an interesting place, Rich Rod is, right now. I mean, he's never been in this situation before where he's not involved in football directly in some way. And I thought he was kind of like, I don't know, sad about it a little bit. I'm pretty sure if he wants to work next year, that he'll find a job, whether that's as a head coach or an offensive coordinator. Our former colleague, Zach Rosenblatt, actually suggested to me on, we were texting today, that maybe Rutgers would be an interesting fit for Rich Rod. I kind of like it. I mean,
yeah,
maybe, you know, starting from the bottom, you know, like that is like literally a bottom five program, and you know that Rich can kind of get more out of less, mm-hmm. you know, so his system might be a good fit there. It would be super interesting if he went back to the Big Ten, right?
Man.
Rutgers is in the Big Ten now. It's a real thing. I mean, as a Northwestern guy, I'm not super proud of that fact, but it's true.
I mean, but I read a little bit of your story, and
you didn't read the whole thing.
I didn't read the whole thing. I just a little bit. I was sitting at a red light, and I just happened to check Twitter. Hey, I put my phone away as soon as the light turned green. That's why I said I only read a little bit of it, but. Seeing his responses, it seemed like he was kind of, like you said, sad, but at the same time...
Proud?
Proud of to see his son Rhett play.
Of course. I mean, he was the biggest believer in Rhett of anybody, right? I mean, a lot of us, I think, were probably skeptical. Like, oh, you know, this guy is just the coach's son. That's the only reason he's here. You know, just sort of doesn't have great size or speed or athleticism or arm strength or all those things. But you saw in that game against... a really good defense, and people can say that it was the twos for Utah, but their twos were really good. Like their second team defensive line was excellent in that game, and he moved the team right in a very difficult situation where they're down by 20-25 points. You know they're going to pass on almost every play, right? I think it'd be a lot easier for him coming into a game where the score is 0-0 from the start. So that you can have a little bit more balance on offense, you can try to establish the run, et cetera. But yeah, I mean, you could definitely sense that Rich regretted that, you know, he and his wife decided not to go to that particular game. There was no way for them to know, right? How could they know that Rhett would play as much as he did? But they're planning to go to this game this upcoming week because their son might start.
Man, wouldn't that be something?
He's also, by the way, great in the post game. Tremendous, even though he's only a sophomore or whatever, Rhett knows how to talk. He knows how to explain what has happened in a game. He just kind of knows all the right things to say. He's polished.
Even after a loss, he doesn't take up what his dad used to do at Arizona.
No.
He didn't inherit that part.
He was very calm and professional. At the end of this game, he took it a lot better than Colin Schooler and Demetrius Flanagan Fowles did, for sure. You could tell those guys were really frustrated and disappointed in their performance. And we haven't talked about the defense at all, but yeah. I don't know what happened as far as the tackling goes. I thought Kevin Sumlin's theory was interesting about how it was not that dissimilar, but there weren't as many bodies around the ball. But I guess my question is, why weren't there? Is that because of Utah's scheme that they were kind of spreading things out? Or, you know, maybe Arizona was playing more man coverage and that, you know, resulted in that. I didn't really detect that when I was rewatching the game, but it was kind of disturbing. They just looked like they were kind of stuck in cement the whole night.
And I feel like with the athletes that Arizona has on the defensive side of the ball, that there would be more hats on the ball because they're athletic. You know, they don't have the size or the overall D1, not their prototypical D1 size, but they're all athletes. Like, for instance, Colin Schooler, does he look like an NFL linebacker right now? No. Maybe in a couple of years he does, but he's still athletic enough to get to the ball. I mean, he's been Arizona's defensive MVP this season without a doubt, but with the other athletes on defense, I was surprised that there weren't a lot more white hats on the ball.
Yeah, I am as well.
Red hats,
yeah. Chrome. Completely accurate, but yeah, I don't know. It was weird. Even watching Colin, he just looked off. You know, every time they'd run a zone read, he would he'd follow the running back and Huntley would keep the ball, or he'd go to the quarterback and the running back would have the ball. Like, something was just off in their reads, in their movements. And also, let's look at the personnel here, okay? Derek Bowles got hurt in the second quarter and didn't come back. Justin Belknap is out. Jalen Cochran is out. I mean, that's three of your top, eight or so defensive? Oh, Kylan Wilborn was also out, right? There was a question about Lee Anderson getting washed down, but I mean, Lee Anderson started the year as an edge player. Then he was subbing at middle linebacker because they had no depth there. And now he's back on the edge because they have no depth there. That's a big problem for this team. I mean, that's what I mean, you asked last week, you're like, are you looking at more junior college players? Why are they looking at more junior college players? Because they need help on those lines next season. They need help this season, right? Which obviously there's nothing they can do about that right now. But when you suffer a few injuries to guys like that, look who they were without in that game. Kylan Wilborn, Derek Bowles, Jace Whitaker, Leif Freck, Nathan Eldridge, and Khalil Tate. And if you look back at my like 10 MVPs,
it's like half of it
heading into the season. That's like almost all 10 of them, right? You never like to use injuries as an excuse, as you know, Coach Sumlin says often, like that's football.
Yeah,
that's what happens. But they're missing a lot of key guys, and when you don't have a lot of depth, and you're missing a lot of key guys, it's kind of a formula for disaster.
Kevin Sumlin is familiar with UCLA, not with the staff.
Not happily.
But last year, what do you remember about that game last year, Michael?
I mean, it was one of the most epic collapses of all time. I didn't want to bring it up in those terms because I'm sure that's like a terrible memory for him. You know, that was Josh Rosen's like amazing fourth quarter comeback in that very stadium.
That was the fake spike, right? Fake spike and then to the corner of the end zone or something?
Yeah, I don't remember. But it was like they were up by a gazillion points. And then they like had quarterback injuries and UCLA came back. And it was like a Sunday game. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It was like that weird like Sunday, September, early September game, like before the NFL season starts. But what he talked about today was how Chip visited Texas A&M last year in his role as an ESPN analyst, right? So even though maybe someone in his staff know a little bit about UCLA's personnel, Chip knows the schemes that he's going to face on Sunday. That often happens when you're in that media role. You know, you go around and you just kind of visit other, you know, you visit schools and get some ideas and so forth. So you might think that someone's staff has something of an advantage, but it might actually be the other way around. Mm-hmm. I think it's a mistake to ever underestimate Chip Kelly. You know, people are banging on him because things didn't go well for him in the NFL and he got off to a bad start, but I would keep the faith. I think he's going to turn things around.
Mm-hmm. Well, what was Chip Kelly's first season like at Oregon? I can't even remember.
They were good every year.
Okay.
Yeah, they were good every year. He lost like 5 games or something in 4 seasons. It was ridiculous.
But that's Eugene, Oregon. I mean, sure, you can sell kids on the whole Nike aspect of it, but I mean, it's Los Angeles. You know, you're out there in Westwood. I feel like that's a lot easier to recruit kids.
Let me ask you a question. Arizona's what, 3-4? UCLA is 1-5 or whatever they are. Whose roster would you rather have?
UCLA's.
Right?
Without a doubt.
Right? They've gotten 4 stars. Some of their 5-star guys haven't panned out, like Miki Juarez, and Jalen Phillips is injured again, missed most of last season and really hasn't been able to stay on the field. But if you looked at just the star rankings or the love, like what they look like getting off the bus, you'd take UCLA's roster.
Absolutely.
Every single time. So that's also something that, you know, Arizona faces this week, right? Is that talent deficit. And you add the injuries on top of that, it's a tall order.
Will Khalil Tate?
On that note.
Does Khalil Tate play this week? I don't think he does.
Yeah, I don't think so either. No, I don't think so either. Maybe he gets through the practice week and he's feeling okay, right? He keeps re-injuring it every time. I mean, maybe it's bad luck, or I don't know. Maybe it would happen even if he were healthy. But you can't keep doing the same. What's that? The definition of insanity is you keep doing the same thing, you know, over and over when it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. That sort of thing.
Yep.
And I think it would be helpful for him from a mental standpoint too.
Yeah.
Right? Sit out a couple weeks, get your mind refreshed, look at things from the sideline, still participate in the discussions that go on over the headsets or whatever. You know, act in that supporting role for Rhett. I think it'd be really disappointing for him to not be able to play in this game at UCLA. Like I said, his cousin, whose name escapes me right now, played for the Bruins back in the day. That was actually his school. It wasn't USC. And if Chip Kelly had been the coach 3 years ago, you could probably envision a scenario where Khalil Tate's, you know, playing for Chip in that system. It would have been a really good fit. But you have to do what's best for the player, right? For his health.
Yeah.
You have to do what's best for his health, and you have to do what's best for the team. And to me, based on, you know, how Khalil has looked and how he's played, I think sitting him is in the best interest of the team.
lots of questions. I feel like we're ending this as like a Dragon Ball Z episode. Like, find out next week. That will do it for this episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the pod on Apple Podcasts and download the app. It's free. It's available on the App Store and Google Play. For Michael, I'm Justin. Thanks for listening.
See you in LA.
I'd like to tell you about our sponsor, Pima Federal Credit Union. Pima Federal Credit Union is always looking for ways to save their members time and money, which is why they offer completely free checking with convenient options for banking on the go. Manage your accounts online, access over 55,000 fee-free ATMs nationwide, and easily deposit checks from your phone with their mobile app. Visit www.pimafederal.org to learn about the many ways their members save. Pima Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.